Oh, yeah. You know, that can only mean one thing. And I'm really happy that we're able to play this music today on this Thursday in the middle of October. Kerry Wood! All part of True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. How do we know the names? We are the people that...
All right. I feel such an incredible amount of relief, by the way, here. I don't even know how to begin to...
Just to be talking about baseball instead of politics, probably.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. But really, I think more importantly, it's that we can still be talking about baseball.
Oh, right.
That it has happened. Because I'm going to be honest with you, mm-hmm. and I don't know, and Kerry, you tell me if I'm misstating this, but I think we as Cubs fans... Very, very, very happy that we didn't have to come back here and play tonight. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. No, I think so. It happened low drama series, a little bit of excitement there in the last couple games with the 13-inning game and then to come back there in the ninth. But, yeah, for the most part, a pretty low drama series, and we took care of business in four games, and now we're ready to roll. So that was a nice, clean first series, and here we go.
You know, it's all fine. Don't worry.
It's fine now, but I'm telling you, Tuesday night, man, I'm sitting there after the eighth inning. Like, we're going into the eighth inning. I thought, okay, six outs, man. They could do this. This is the kind of team that can do it. And then when they kind of just didn't really show up in the eighth inning, then I'm like, oh, man. And I have to start thinking about, okay, Thursday. What am I doing Thursday night? What am I going to do? How are we going to do it? You know, like, thinking. And then I thought, you know, you hate to have, like, a momentum shift like that. And then boom. Four runs get. Hold on a second here. I don't know what the hell's going on. All right, hold on. We just lost Kerry.
Did we lose Kerry during that run?
I don't know what's going on. Oh, good God! Anyway, the point is that finally, there's like this moment where I actually crossed the Rubicon and began to believe.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're able to come down. It feels like these games move in slow motion, don't they? You're just, I don't know, as a Cubs fan, they're agonizing. They just are. And you don't see that, you don't feel that with... Oh. What is going on?
I don't know. I would like to know who's touching my stuff. Who is touching my stuff?
Don't touch Rose.
Don't touch my junk.
Sounds like people keep hanging up on you.
Yeah. By the way, words Donald Trump never uttered. All right, here we
Not
go.
We know of.
There we go. There's Kerry Wood. We got him back.
We're back.
All right.
That comment?
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, don't touch
leave
it.
That one be.
Stay away. It's
How
a grenade.
About Dodgers Nationals tonight? What are we thinking here, Kerry? Which one would you like to see?
I got different. I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I think LA. Obviously, I think we match up better against LA. We're in good shape either team we play. They're the ones that have to come beat us. So I'm not worried about either team. Let me just say that first, but. I think LA probably matches. We match up a little bit better with LA. I think Nationals have a little stronger offense. They both have pretty good pitching, good bullpens. But selfishly, I'd like to go to LA for some nice sun and maybe some beach during the day and some baseball at night. So for a couple
How about
days.
It? So. And there are a lot of Cubs fans out there too. That's what I like about it.
Transplants.
People have moved out there, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although, it's funny because remember we all had that moment after the play-in game, and you had when the Mets lost, like, oh damn, I wanted the Mets, and then they basically cut through the Giants. I shouldn't say cut through. That's unfair. They played
handled.
Well. They handled. That's a better way of putting it. Thank you. Yeah. They handled the Giants well. And you know what was amazing? And obviously you've played in San Francisco, and those are very, very, very. As Kevin was there, and he was telling us, you know, those are diehard fans, man. Those are really good baseball fans, and they really know what they're doing. And there was a sea of orange and black in that stadium. But when Jake Arrieta hit the home run, it was a Cub fan who caught it in left field.
Isn't that great? Amazing.
What are the odds? How about that?
I know. I think, doesn't that, and I was thinking about you actually during all this because, you know, in the playoffs, the Cubs have had two pitchers get up and hit home runs. which is something you did in the playoffs as well.
Well, not to mention Lester. I mean, Hendricks got up and got a two RBI base hit as well. So our pitchers have driven in runs and have done damage, and you know, kind of thank God they have.
Tank that, American League.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Kerry, there was some question with Joe Maddon using Aroldis Chapman in Game 3 in the eighth inning, trying to bring him in for a six-out save. I guess that's really the only question mark people had towards Madden's managing in the series. Would you, again, bring a Chapman into that sort of scenario if they're in a pickle and you need your best relief pitcher, or is it strictly save him for one inning?
Well, I mean, I think you've got a situation there where he, listen, I don't know how you question bringing in your best arm out of the pen, the guy that's throwing 103 to come get six outs. Everybody's going to question it after the fact. But, no, I think he brought in his best arm to get six outs to win a game to move on to advance on, and it didn't work out. So, you know, do I think he'll hesitate again? I would hope not. I would hope that he wouldn't hesitate to put his best arm into the pen to give us a chance to win the game. So,
hey, let's talk about that though, because it's maybe a mechanic that I think maybe there's a little bit of you know, real inside baseball knowledge that you would have about that to understand where that comes from. You know, there has been some talk that he's like, "Hey, I'm a three out guy." He said that before. At least there's a story that he said that before. I don't know if that's true. Is there such a thing as just a three-out guy? I mean, is that a real thing where a guy's, "I'm really only good in the ninth inning. I'm only good when you have to, you know, end this game."
Well, hey, I mean, there's definitely something to that routine of a closer getting in his three-out routine, and most of the time closers aren't used to, if they sit down, they're done for the day. So their body kind of gets into that routine of, hey, when I sit down on the bench, my day's over. So you kind of get into a little bit of shutdown mode or a little bit of a, I don't know, just the adrenaline, the edge kind of comes off. So you're not used to sitting down and going back out as a closer. So I understand that aspect of it, and I understand the routine part of it. But I also understand that when it's playoff time and it's clinching or deciding game or, you know, win or go home type of game, it's all hands on deck and for whatever you need me for. So I'm sure he's the same way. I'm sure he may have said that in the past. I know he played for Dusty over in Cincinnati, and I know Dusty used him for some four and five out saves as well. So I think it's not like it's new to him. He's done it in the past. He may not like it, but I think in postseason format,
The issue there is sitting down in between. That's fascinating. So I was wondering about the mechanic of that. I mean, what to me?
It's just a different routine, right? So the closer comes in, he throws. He gets either he doesn't get his outs and the game's over, or he does get his outs and most of the time it's the game over and you go inside. But most of the time, if you sit down on the bench, these guys are, that means they're done for the day a lot of the time. So they just get used, their body just gets used to that routine.
I knew he'd have an answer to that, Kevin.
No, yeah, phenomenal.
I may have just be full of crap. I have no idea. I just made all that up.
Sounded great. Yeah.
Sounds right to us, Kerry, if you're saying it must be true. Javi Baez's play, Kerry, what can you say about that? He was amazing to watch this past series.
Yeah, it's amazing that gum did not hit the ground. That was the greatest play I've ever seen.
The reflexes on that man.
No, listen, he comes up and hits a big home run in game one off Cueto and wins the game for us or helps win the game. I think Lester did a pretty good job of winning that game for us as well. But what Baez does with his glove and the range this kid has, it's just been phenomenal. When you got players getting, you know, tipping their hat when they actually got a base hit. You know, the one they ended up calling him safe was a good call, but you know, you got Span over there tipping his hat to Baez, and
that play, we're talking about the play where it was one of the most sick defensive plays I've ever seen at second base. And second base that's a lot of fun to watch a guy at second base make, you know, like a circus play like that, where he's not even on his knees turning around. He's now almost on his back turning around and throwing the ball. And it was and gained the ball to first base. And it was a bang bang play in which it was basically just past a tie, so it went to the runner. I'm looking at that and I'm like, how does he physically have that ability? He's like a cat. He's El Gato to me because he's in the middle of the air. He can do anything.
He just barely tapped his little toe tap, just enough so he could spin his body around and make the throw. He's just an unbelievable athlete. And then earlier in the series, he made a similar play, and Rizzo just turned around and fired it right back at him while he was sitting on the ground, and he picked it from his back and just threw it around the horn from his backside. So this guy's just – and then obviously the play in the dugout with the gum, not dropping his gum. I mean, that's Gold Glove worthy right there.
I think it definitely is. And you know what's funny about that, too, is that the pickoff plays, the second, you know, the catcher to say when he's going over covering a stealer, a guy stealing second base, is amazing to see. He can stay in the air and make the tag. He is just, it's like it's like Ozzie Smith, really. You know, remember like when we were at least when I was a kid, you know, like you watch Ozzie Smith and you're like, how did he just do that? Right? And that's
I've heard him talk about Baez and this and how fast he tags, and you know, I've heard the story behind how he's worked on that. And you know, I played in the big leagues for a long time. I didn't realize guys worked on tagging quickly. I mean, this is a part of the game that I didn't even think guys knew and worked on and didn't even think about it. But it's made it. You've seen it now since you know how quick it is. You've seen it make a difference in games. And he's just, his reflexes are unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, they also don't believe that thing about a guy sitting down and losing his mojo between the eighth and ninth inning. So they're like, hey, we're sitting.
Only a few of us do know that.
The select few. All right, so as we head into this, I mean, obviously we'll talk next week as we get, you know, we'll sort of be in the middle of the series by then. But it is good that we've got home field advantage here. The one disadvantage, and look at me, I'm looking ahead already. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get to the World Series, once that does start to loom a little bit for Cubs fans, that because of the All-Star game, you lose home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, this is we haven't been to the World Series since 1945. We're going to get there, and it's going to determine home field advantage is determined by a meaningless game. So, it's definitely going to affect us this year. Obviously, it's affected all the teams that have, you know, it's affected since they made it a rule. But I personally don't like it. I think there's a better way to do it.
Now the Texas Rangers are out of it. Are we okay now? Are you good? You're full Cubs.
You're like
feeling good. All right. What about now? It's interesting because the Red Sox being out of it so quickly. I don't think anybody expected that.
No, I don't think so. But I think you better be ready for Cleveland. This team is for real. These guys, are good. And Toronto, obviously, Toronto can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and they've been pretty impressive. But this Cleveland team is legit. They can throw the ball. They play the game, and don't necessarily rely on the big ball, although they do hit several. But so that should be a good series coming up as well.
Yep. All right, Kerry Wood. Thank you very much,
Thanks,
sir.
Kerry.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Kerry Wood. Of course, it's all part of True Blue Playoffs Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. I just say something about Wintrust also? Mm-hmm. If I could just stop myself for a moment here. Yesterday, I was very proud to host the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation Valor Awards.
Right.
And the four police officers who were involved in a gun battle, two of whom had their lives saved by their bulletproof vests.
Mm.
And
God, you like to hear that.
One of the missions of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation is to buy bulletproof vests for the police officers.
Right, because they wear out. We've talked about after 5 years, and all kinds of things happen that make them penetrable. Penetratable.
Right. So you need to have. So they need to get new ones every number of years. They get the first one free out of the academy, or first one's paid for by the police department. Then after that, they're responsible for paying for their bulletproof vests. Police officers themselves. So one of the missions of the Memorial Foundation is to buy vests. Well, yesterday, Ed Wehmer, who is the CEO of Wintrust Banks, this is the sponsor of this, was on stage and gave us $100,000 for vests.
That's great.
Which is incredible. That's going to be 200 vests, more than 200 vests for Chicago police officers who don't have them that Wintrust just bought. So I think they deserve a little bit
of
attention for doing something like that.
Definitely.
So thank you to Mr. Wehmer and, of course, to Wintrust.
Oh, cool.
All right. Now, Violetta Pottermedic, who's risking nothing by sitting up in her traffic booth.
It's pretty dangerous up here.
Standing by.